uploaded to the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show!
So, Trevor, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Score Notes. How is everything going?
Thanks for having me. Everything's going wonderful.
Well, that's great. And before we cover some of your recent projects, can you fill us in on the score for the upcoming Immortals, what the status is and what type of music we could expect from it?
The status is we just finished the score not that long ago. The movie was just finishing, you know, editing and visual effects, and it comes out in about a month. So we officially wrapped, which is exciting. It was a long journey, but a great one. And, you know, the music for the movie really follows the visuals, which is Tarsem Singh, our director. He's just one of those one-of-a-kind directors. I mean, he really has, I call it Planet Tarsem, where he's from, that his images are really somehow his own. And so the music really needed to live up to that. And Tarsem and I agreed on a lot of things in terms of aesthetics. And what we both loved was when the music is big, it should be as big as possible. And when it's small, it should be very intimate and very personal sounding. And that was sort of our MO for the score. So there are some cues that sound like the end of the world, literally. And there's some cues that are just solo instruments and just a slight hint of some live strings. So that's sort of the zone that the score lives in. But, you know, it's a Greek mythology tale, so there's gods and there's a lot of, you know, big things happening. So the imagery is just so exciting to write music for that the music itself just followed what it saw, if that makes any sense.
Yep, sure does. And I suspect the answer is yes to this, but is this the first time you've composed music for a fantasy film of this type of scope?
Yes, for sure. This is, you know, by far the biggest scale movie I've done. You know, the similarity in terms of the task at hand with some of the historical period stuff that I've done is similar in the sense that you need to create a new language, really, from scratch, to suit the project. So that's something I had lots of experience with and I really enjoy doing and I've been lucky to do a lot of. But it was never the case as grand a scale as it was with Immortals, so it was just exciting from day one.
Now, jumping to the big screen is not too big a leap for someone like yourself, I'd imagine, because a lot of the television series that you've worked on, each episode was like a mini movie in and of itself. And what has it been like for you during your composing career to be involved with so many wonderful series like you have been?
I've been really blessed, been really lucky to be involved in shows like The Tudors, which was just a huge fan favorite, critical favorite. And I'm doing a new show called The Borgias. Well, it's not new. It's in season two now for Showtime. And I did a miniseries called Pillars of the Earth. What these all have in common is, and you nailed it on the head, is each week is like a little movie, a one-hour movie. And there's no commercials in these sort of projects, so it's uninterrupted. It's not as serialized as network television. And they really approached the way they produce these projects by taking the amount of money they had and pouring it into 9 or 10 episodes as opposed to 20. So they just look like they look better than a lot of movies out there. So it really was approached from a cinematic standpoint, both visually and musically as well. So I've been doing that for a long time now. And so Immortals was sort of an extension of that, but being involved in such amazing projects has been so fortunate for me, and I count my blessings all the time for that.
Now, what would you say are the benefits and perhaps some of the drawbacks of writing music for another time and place in history?
Well, the benefits are that, you know, that nobody expects period music, I'm putting quotations around that, to be a musicology experiment, to be historically correct. I think things like BBC Masterpiece Theatre have done that so well for so long that the audience was ready for something new. So the advantage is you get to sort of make up new things. You get to invent a language, and you get to choose instruments that, in a way, have no business being in, you know, Rome 1492 or in, you know, in England in the early 1500s, but somehow they work to tell the right story as opposed to being musically correct or of the period. that's where I got to have a really exciting time, which was I was not bound by anything. I mean, the main title for The Tudors has a drum loop in it, like literally a very modern-sounding drum loop. So it was really freeing to be able to explore those colors, and it just made it really exciting.
In one of my favorites, Pillars of the Earth, I found the music to be very emotionally engaging. I really thought it lifted the material that was good to begin with, and I very much enjoyed it. Would you say your approach, do you write with passion? Do composers write with passion sometimes?
I can only speak about myself intelligently, but I certainly do. You know, I find that I describe myself as a musical storyteller. So the best case scenario for me is to work on the best story possible. You take Pillars of the Earth, for example, a beloved book by Ken Follett, adapted into an 8-hour miniseries format where just, you know, everybody who was involved in that project was passionate about making it the best it could be. It's the only way to make it work, you know. And let's be honest about this. It's not done in a feature film sort of timeline or a budget. I mean, it's television at the end of the day. So you're working twice as hard, twice as fast, so you have to dig even deeper to make that passion come out and be able to deliver on that deadline and make it connect with the characters and the arc of the story. Otherwise, it doesn't work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing that jumps out to me about your work is that there is that passion behind it. And a lot of times if scores are approached analytically, you know, sometimes you don't get that. But I think it's a key component to your success from what I hear. So,
Thanks very much for saying that. I mean, I do approach things analytically sometimes, but generally speaking, I'm more of a visceral, emotional, you know, type of composer, melodic driven and melodies and feelings and stuff like that, more than the intellectual exercise of writing music. So I appreciate that observation.
And how would you compare your time spent on the Borges versus the Tudors, just from an execution standpoint?
Those two projects are similar in the sense that Tudors was, you know, and I give full credit to Showtime and the producers and to the acting for this, but Showtime, I mean, pardon me, the Tudors really, for me, paved the way for the audience to be ready to experience costume drama again in a new way, historical drama. And from that has stemmed the ability for so many projects to get made. Like, I truly believe that Pillars of the Earth and Borges, you know, their ability to get made was paved by the Tudors. And my answer to your question, my process in the Tudors is very similar to the Borges. The subject matter is obviously very different. But because it was sort of Showtime's answer to the end of the Tudors, because all good things must end, the production cycle or my schedule is very similar because they had establish a groove and how to do a 10-part mini-series format for the shows. But, of course, the musical challenge is vastly different, but the ethos is the same, the work ethic, you know.
Indeed. Now, how big a personal commitment does it take from you to kind of latch on and work on a series of this length? I mean, do you have to pass on other projects sometimes because of your commitment to programs like these?
You know, it's an interesting and tough question. You know, I tend to sort of try to say yes to everything that I believe that I'm good at or have something to contribute to. And it really depends on the year and the schedule and that kind of things. But I always end up juggling a couple of things as one project is ending and the next one is beginning. You know, schedules shift midway. Something starts later or starts earlier or continues longer than it should. And that's when you really have to summon it and you have to just be ready to not sleep for long periods of time is what it comes down to.
And, of course, the fruits of your labor, you've been recognized for several awards. And I'd just like to know from you, for you personally, what was it like to win and be nominated for Emmy and Gemini Awards?
It means so much to me. I mean, the Gemini is Canada's version of the Emmys, and I'm Canadian. So to win in the hometown is just amazing. You know, I mean, I don't think the Gemini is quite as world-renowned as the Emmy, but it means so much to me to win back to Toronto, which is my hometown. And then the Emmy, just, you know, I'm always amazed at, you know, when you watch the Creative Arts Emmys that I won for, it's not really televised, it's not as big a deal in terms of the public eye. And then you watch the Primetime Emmys and you realize how big a deal it really is and the size of the arena and the you know, it's the gravity of that award show. So I'm immensely proud to be part of it and to be nominated. And the thing that's most exciting for me, unlike the Oscars, the Emmys are peer voted on, so it's peer group driven. So fellow composers voted for my work, which means so much to me. So to be nominated is already like just you can't believe it's true, and then to win is over the top. So it's been an amazing year, I won't lie.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. And I imagine it must be pretty neat to have a program like Tudors on syndication on like a BBC for kind of a global reach of your material in a way.
You know, it really is. I mean, for me, at my level of my career, Tudors was the first truly global project that I had done that reached so many people in so many languages and all over the world and continues to air on BBC America, like you said. But to get, you know, emails and make my email readily available on my website, I get emails from people all over the world telling me how much they love the show and how much they love the music. And I've had some amazing requests. Somebody wanted to walk down the aisle on their wedding day to the Tudors main theme and have a quartet play it and stuff like that. I mean, it's just so gratifying. I had no idea. I've never had a project like that reach so many corners of the world. And since it has, it's just been, the ride continues with the Tudors. It really does. It's been off my radar for 2 or 3 years now, and it's still going. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, some would say you might have reached the pillars of the earth with that one there.
Right.
Now, aside from all of this and the Immortals that's coming up soon, what else might you be working on here in the near future and looking at next year, perhaps?
At the moment, to be honest, Immortals just wrapped not that long ago, and Borges is just spinning up. So that's enough for me at the moment. But what I did do this year is I moved my studio space to a new building in Santa Monica. I built a little facility for myself, so that's the most exciting thing at the moment is, you know, I have a great little building, and I built myself a mix studio, which I've always wanted. I really enjoy mixing. I have a dedicated mix studio, and I'll be putting pictures up on the web soon. But we're just doing the finishing touches on the studio. I'm going to have the open house party next week, so that is immensely exciting for me. So we're spending a lot of time just getting that to be picture perfect, and then Borges spins up, and then I have a feature coming up next year with a director that I've worked with before called Fire with Fire. David Barrett's the director, and this has a great cast. It has Bruce Willis and 50 Cent and Vincent D'Onofrio and someone else I can't remember at the moment. So that's going to be just a great visual-driven, visceral action movie, and it's nice to work with a director you've worked with before. Because you have that shorthand, so that'll be spinning up at some point. But at the moment, really, I'm actually not writing music at this very moment. I'm post-Immortals and pre-Borges, and I'm just enjoying my studio space. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and I'd have to imagine someone so entrenched in the creative world might need a respite here and there just to kind of recharge the creative juices.
Yeah, you know, more than I probably give myself. And I talk to a lot of composers who are friends, and we all say the same thing, which is, you know, I'd give anything for one day a week off, but when you get into the crux of production, it's 7 days a week. It's 24 hours a day in your head. So, you know, that part of what we do is a challenge, but, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to write music for a living and to reach so many people. Like, can't complain. You just can't complain about it, you know, because it's so much fun and it's so much work, too, but it's just, you know, it's a privileged life. I have to pinch myself still that I get to write music for a living. So, you know, a little break is needed, and right now it's very welcomed. You know, I get to sort of spend time with my kids, who I'm sure I won't see much more of after Borges spins up.
Well, in closing, I would just like to say your music has connected with fans. It certainly connects with me, and I'm very much looking forward to taking that next step with you as a fan, to hearing what comes out of the Immortals. So congrats on everything, and thank you so much for your time.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me. And Immortals is, I really hope you enjoy it. We really worked hard on that one, and I'm really proud of it. So I hope it reaches the fans.